just joining us, I'm here with Nathan, the comic book critic. This is the Trade Readers Podcast.
I'm the only critic.
The comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing well, Daniel. How are you?
Excellent.
You look very cozy.
We're
right
brothers.
Now.
We read comics. We're very cozy.
For all the audio-only listeners, we're in pretty warm clothes here in Arizona because Daniel doesn't turn on his heater at all.
Because we're in Arizona, Nathan.
So I'm freezing my balls off.
I almost put the fan on, dude, because I just kind of like...
Dude, you put the fan on last week. I'm like, what are you doing? I didn't want to say it, though.
I like when there's like movement in the room, you know?
I like that,
it's too. It's 48 degrees currently in Arizona. You know, it's probably below freezing in other places.
I'm going to bring like a heated blanket or something next time, dude.
Bring some slippers.
I'm going to get all cozy. Yeah, drink a coffee.
Yeah, bring some
slippers.
Coffee instead of an energy drink.
Yeah.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Hulk Red, the Red Hulk. Red Hulk's in it. It's called Red. That's the trade.
Yep. It sounds like Hulk named that trade.
Right. Red.
Hulk. Red.
We got Back Matter Matters in the pull list, but we start with the news. And did you know that Dan Slott is like no longer like an exclusive with Marvel?
Yeah, because he's doing Superman now, right?
Yeah.
I just saw that.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool, yeah. People hate Dan Slott for Spider-Man stuff.
I think it's like one of those things where like they hate it in the moment, but then people come around to it, you know? Or like looking back.
I think he likes to...
Then they read the Nick Spencer run. Then they're like, what the fuck?
They didn't know what they had.
He was so good.
Like, Dan Slott, come back. But yeah, I think Dan Slott likes to stir the pot a little bit in the moment. And then he's got like a grander sort of thing going on. He's never like going to keep, you know, Doc Ock as Spider-Man for forever or whatever.
Have we read anything Dan Slott?
No.
Did we read a Fantastic Four or something?
Oh, yeah, that we did. But no Spider-Man Dan Slott.
What Fantastic Four was it? What happened?
It was the one that we did for Thanksgiving episode. That's all we ever do. That was the Ryan North one that we did.
Yeah.
So we did a Ryan North one and we did like a Hickman one, I think. So I don't think we've done any Dan Slott.
Infraction.
I've read... Oh, yeah, and Fraction.
Yeah, we're just bouncing around his.
Yeah, we're just tiptoeing around it.
I'd be opening.
I read the first couple of issues of his Fantastic
Four. Sure, he's done
Four.
Other things than Spidey, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So
but he's doing we'll
see how that goes.
With Jorge Jimenez.
On Supes?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him. He loves the soup.
Yeah, he's doing Superman. He does one of my all-time favorite Superman. So good for him.
Yeah, he's very good. Nathan, you know Godzilla.
I'm familiar.
There's a if you don't think LA has enough going on right now,
this book is being released in bad taste.
They're gonna be LA is gonna be facing Godzilla.
Who do you think started the fires, Daniel?
Exactly. I guess there's like some Godzilla versus certain cities, and like Godzilla versus Chicago came out like a couple weeks ago.
How'd they do?
I think they got out of there.
How are they supposed to stop them?
I don't know.
I think they got out of there.
But coming up soon, I can't remember if it was next month or not, but Godzilla versus Los Angeles.
Wow.
And all the proceeds of that book is going to go towards wildfire relief, which is good.
Cool. Yeah. No, that's good. I just think it's an interesting way to do that.
I think they already had it.
They probably
coming
had,
out. Yeah, but they're like, you know what we should do?
They were probably like, ooh, we probably can't profit off this anymore.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I wonder what's going to happen in it or why it's going to be different from the Chicago one. Maybe there's just more celebrities.
Maybe.
Maybe The Rock tries to punch him.
That'd be funny.
That'd be cool.
That'd be written by Dave Baker and art by Gabriel Hardman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome.
He did some Lantern stuff, yeah?
Yeah, he did Green Lantern Earth 1.
Nice, nice.
And he did some...
Did you Planet of the Apes?
Of the Invisibles? Some Planet of the Apes I think he's done.
Yeah.
But he's cool. He's mainly like a movie storyboard artist. Like, I think he's done like...
That seems like the coolest fucking job.
Like David Goyer stuff, I think.
Nice.
So, okay. Pretty cool. More Godzilla news. I mean, we already know Godzilla versus some Marvel people is happening, but I think we now know some of the creative teams that are going to be on it.
Okay.
So Godzilla versus Hulk, Jerry Duggan, and Giuseppe Camuncoli.
Very cool.
Which he's a great artist. And then we have Godzilla versus Spider-Man, written by Joe Kelly with art by Nick Bradshaw.
Okay.
And he's the guy that is... on that John Layman book, Bermuda.
Oh, okay.
So that like pretty insane.
Yeah,
pretty
very.
He's perfect.
Very
for this.
Detailed. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for that. So lots of Godzilla stuff, which good.
Yeah. Is Godzilla with Marvel now? Or he's still with IDW, right?
Yeah, I think technically all the Godzilla stuff is
But it's like a crossover thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know how that works.
Speaking of IDW, Nathan.
What about IDW?
Transformers, the worst bot ever, is a series coming soon.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, coming July 9th by Brian Smith, an artist called Mars Jr. I guess his dad is Mars. Okay, yeah. It's an original graphic novel, so it'll all come out at once.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Sounds like the worst X-Men ever.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty fun series.
Who wrote that again? It was like a person?
Was a person.
Was it?
I believe you can get there.
It was a guy who doesn't normally write comics.
Mm-hmm. He's an artist.
He's an artist? Oh, like a singer or something.
No.
Or like a music artist?
No. It was Michael Walsh.
No. The worst X-Men ever?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Michael Walsh.
He maybe did the art, but I'm talking about like the writer.
Wasn't it like Max Landis or something?
Max Bemis.
Bemis, that's what it was.
Yeah, from Say Anything, like that band.
Yeah. Hold on.
That's funny.
Let me confirm that was the artist. Yeah, it was Michael Walsh, who's the illustrator.
Nice. I remember liking the covers of that.
Yeah, that one's cool.
So, a lot of IDW stuff. Maybe my news site was just biased or something. But
Star Wars relaunches with the renumbering in May 2025.
Sure does. May 7th. That's Sarah's birthday, I think.
Oh, so that's the same week? I think. Just re-edit this and then just cut out the I think if you got it right.
That's definitely May 7th. Or it's like, oh, that's May 8th or something like that. But that's one day after her birthday.
Good marketing for them. It's the same week as May the 4th, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. I saw an article and it's like, just in time for May the 4th. I'm like, actually, no.
It's after that.
It's late.
you should have done the week before.
Yeah, it's a slam dunk.
But it's going to be written by Alex Segura with art by Phil Noto, which I think is an incredible pick.
Nice.
So this is cool. This new era will follow Luke's early challenges in restoring the Jedi Order to Leia and Han's continuing romance that led to the birth of Kylo Ren. We might see Leia and Han fuck a little bit in this series.
Hell yeah, dude. They got my money.
Yeah.
How much is number one going to be?
Dude, probably $5.
It's probably going to be $7.
You think so?
Maybe.
They could do that. When Jason Aaron launched, it sold like a million copies.
It's going to be $4.99. You're right.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, well.
It'll probably go up, though. Speaking of Charles Soule Daredevil, I forgot this was news, but he's going to be doing pretty much old man Daredevil. It's called Daredevil Cold Day in Hell. It's going to be him and Steve McNiven, which is pretty cool. I'm excited to see him.
Did he do original Old Man Logan?
No.
Who is that?
Mark Miller?
No, the artist. Steve McNiven?
Oh, yeah, he did.
That's sick then.
Mm-hmm.
It was Hawkeye who's the blind one that was in that, right?
Yeah. But Daredevil, guess what? Also going to be blind and old.
Still blind.
Still blind. Nothing's changed.
He's also deaf now.
He doesn't know what's going on.
I feel like Old Man Daredevil is a thing already. Or maybe he's just making a story off of that.
It's just kind of based off of that, I think. It's called just Daredevil Cold Day in Hell. There's no like old man sort of branding around it.
But that's what it is? Is it in like the Wastelands?
No.
Okay.
The pitch of the book is, after a horrible series of events, the world is in shambles. Matt Murdock is old and his powers have faded to nothing. Matt will not, however, sit by and watch his new fellow of New York stars suffer. So instead of swinging around the city from his billy club, he slings soup at a food center for the poor. And then some mysterious, wrinkly old man, probably Kingpin, interrupts a secret convoy, causing an explosion. A deadly gas fills Hell's Kitchen, and this tale takes a turn that will challenge how you look at the Man Without Fear.
So it's like the Man Without Fear returns.
Yeah. That's kind of a good way to put it.
Okay.
So that's cool.
He's not slinging his booty sticks. He's slinging some soup.
He's gonna throw soup at people. If you throw soup at anybody, I think this is cool.
They're done for.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like Ghostbusters?
Every once in a while.
Yeah, Ghostbusters new series called Dead Man's Chest. Coming.
That's a pirates movie.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be like pirate ghosts.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in.
It looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Flying Dutchman in, like, SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, ghost, it's, like, green and it's, like, goopy? It's, like, that's on the cover.
The Flying Dutchman?
I think so.
From SpongeBob?
Yeah. I don't know. Is it a SpongeBob Pirates of the Caribbean crossover with Ghostbusters?
Oh, maybe. My God, dude.
Coming May 21st by David Boer and Aviv Orr.
Cool.
I'll show you the cover.
I'm in.
I really wanted to do a Ghostbusters comic when that movie came out.
Yeah, I heard there's some good ones.
I'm sure there is, but they're like all out of print, so it's like...
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you can't buy them like digitally, right? Because the rights have changed or whatever.
Right.
What corporate fuck, greed, dude? Man.
I know. And look at that cover.
That's sick as hell.
Yeah, isn't that like...
Sweet? Whoa. Wait, I'm in.
There's not enough pirate comics anything, but we got it.
I know, we need more pirate comics out. We were saying.
Ghost Pirates.
Dude, let's go.
I guess they're with Dark Horse now, because I think they were with IDW.
Yeah, that seems like it would be an IDW thing, but cool.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Hell yeah.
When does that come out? Probably April.
May 21st.
May 21st? Oh yeah, May solicitations.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So let's get into the comic book that we read this week, which is Hulk Red by... Is this Jeff Loeb? That's so funny to me.
That is Jeff Loeb.
It's Jeff Loeb with penciler Ed McGuinness and inker Dexter Vines. And then we have Jason Keith and Guru EFX on colors. This is the most dude hell yeah book we've ever read, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
This is the most smooth brain book we've ever read.
The most popcorn dude fuck yeah book ever. And it's so good.
I feel like this is like a dad book in a way.
It's pretty fucking awesome. I would give this book to somebody and be like, if you
dad would be like, whoa.
Like, I think this is what people think comics are all the time. But like, I kind of wish it was. No, I wish they were right.
No,
this is just Hulk fucking punching Red Hulk every fucking issue, or like Red Hulk punching somebody every issue, and it feels like each issue feels like it's like 10 pages.
Yeah,
I would like finish an issue and I'm gonna be like, was that like a half issue or something?
I was like slowing down. I'm like, I'm gonna run out of books soon.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I think that this is hilarious. We decided to read this because we saw it randomly at like a comic shop while we were waiting to meet somebody, and I like picked it up and I flipped through it because I saw it was Ed McGuinness, and I was like, this looks cool.
Yeah,
we and saw you flipped through and you're like, this looks cool. And guess what? It was pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
Do you see how like it's supposed to be like Incredible Hulk, yeah, but their names are covering parts of it?
Genius.
So it's only the red in Incredible,
yeah,
is left.
I think that's great. I never even thought about
smart.
That.
Smart.
Pretty smart.
Whoever's in fucking marketing is genius.
Yeah. And then like, I kind of just like the design of the whole trade, because basically the whole thing is like Red Hulk fights a different person every issue. Mm-hmm. And so like variants or like some page in between issues that's just like a promo for like a boxing thing.
Yeah.
It's like the Red Hulk versus whoever he's fighting. But yeah, I think this is just hilarious.
John Rochelle.
Goat.
Of comic craft. Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. So.
So this is Red Hulk's first appearance. I looked it up.
I'm still confused by him. By the end of this trade, like, yeah. I thought I knew what was kind of going on, and then I was just like, I didn't.
If you came to this episode for clarity, this is not
There's
it.
None.
We but don't have
technically,
it for you.
If you are coming here because you see the Captain America movie has Red Hulk, and you're like, let me Google Red Hulk, and somehow you found us, I'm sorry, first of all. But
You'll learn some stuff.
All you're going to learn is that Red Hulk punches a lot of people, you know, and that's his origin, which is pretty sick. But let's get into it, shall we?
I love the colorist for this. Who is it, actually?
It is...
Jason Keith?
Yep, Jason Keith and Guru EFX.
I think they're, like, perfect for Ed McGuinness artwork, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when it's just big dudes.
Yeah.
It just, like, worked really well for me.
I think Ed McGuinness is like perfect for this too.
Yeah.
Cause I think it kind of draws everything like they're just like action figures fighting, you know?
And he draws everyone like they're bulking.
Everyone
is fucking huge.
Everybody's bulking.
No one's small.
Like I've read his like Avengers with Jason Aaron, and like it didn't work for me as much.
Oh, was that him?
That's him.
Like where it started at number one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's super buff in that too. Yeah.
Super buff, and I was like, it's kind of fun. And like, he like draws Celestials in that. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think like this is where, I think this is his bread and butter. Cause like the whole time I was like, this is fucking crazy. And all the Hulks have so many muscles that are so defined.
Yeah. I was like, these aren't even real muscles.
Yeah, I don't know where
these don't exist.
I have a problem with his nipples though.
The Red Hulk nipples?
Both Hulk nipples.
Okay.
They're just like big ovals.
Yeah, because the muscles are so big they get stretched out.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. It's just funny because he's just like, I don't even want to pay attention to it. So he just does an oval. But I think this is like my favorite Ed McGuinness stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Doc Samson, General Ross, Iron Man, and She-Hulk and Maria Hill are investigating the murder of the Abomination in Russia, and they're pretty sure it was the Hulk, except this time he used a gun in the fight.
The Hulk straps.
And it's fucking hilarious how this book starts, because it's like Doc Samson, whoever the fuck that is, I don't even know, he's like telling She-Hulk like, oh, here's what happened. He like punched him here and then threw him over here and then to finish him off, and it's like a panel of Hulk and he's holding a fucking gun that's like fitting for his hand, so it's just like this massive gun and he shoots the fucking Abomination, and I'm like, this book is awesome already. Because, and in the way that he presents it, Doc Samson's like, then he did something unexpected, and we just see the Hulk with a gun.
Yeah.
Hilarious. But while they're investigating this, it gets the attention of the Red Guard, so they all kind of fight about it. We see Rick Jones is lost in Alaska somewhere, and then General Ross and Doc Samson later go to the holding cell of Bruce Banner, who's been locked up the entire time. So there's just kind of a new Hulk running around is the reveal. And that's pretty much the whole issue. But I don't know. Seeing the Red Guard in this is pretty fun. They just needed somebody to fight, I think. So they're just like, yeah, let's just put this in Russia.
Yeah, that was fun.
See some Red Guardian.
Wasn't expecting that. And then like there's like a bear guy.
Yeah, I like that.
He looks Crimson Dynamo big. I've seen before.
Where have we seen him? Because I think I've seen him before too, but like I could not
put my finger on it. I think it was something that JRJR was doing art for.
Oh, that makes sense.
Or something. I'm sure it's just some thing where you need to be in it for like a minute. But Red Guardian's a cool design. It's basically just a Russian cap.
Yep. But yeah, it looks good.
Really good She-Hulk design in this. And
mm-hmm. So continuity-wise, this is like after Civil War and after World War Hulk, which I guess is after Civil War.
Yeah.
And you read World War Hulk?
Yeah.
Was that good?
There's good stuff.
Okay, cool.
I haven't like come back to it.
Yeah. But Bruce Banner is like in this place called the Gamma Base, and I can only assume that it was built just to hold Bruce Banner. So that's kind of interesting.
I love when like, so you said like he is after World War Hulk.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like jumping into this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's kind of in the continuity, because it's like Sergeant Ross, he's like the world's foremost authority on gamma radiation, but we all know why he's not here, don't we? I'm like, yeah. No, we don't.
I'm like, I don't know. I would appreciate an editor's note, maybe. Yeah. I do not know that.
Yeah. Cause like, there's always like just little tidbits in Marvel shit when you go back to where you need to go back even further to understand what that thing meant.
Yeah.
But
I read something this week. It was just me catching up on Green Lantern, but there was an editor's note that told me to read two different series. And I'm like, let's back up.
Like, I'm okay, dude.
It was like, read Absolute Power and Green Lantern War Journal to figure out who this guy is. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So
yeah, you need to narrow it down.
Yeah, you can just fuck off, actually.
Do you think putting Bruce Banner in like this solitary confinement would like work?
Apparently, if he touches the glass, he like falls asleep or something.
So even if he's like Hulk, if he hulks out, like he bites his lip and hulks out and then he can smash it or whatever?
I think he wants to be there.
He's like being willing, it seems like.
He's willingly being there, and I think just like the glass sort of containment has something that stops him or like knocks him out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it like fills him with gas and like knocks him out if they like see his heart rate get too high or something.
Yeah.
Which means that he's transitioning.
Or like maybe like cameras like tracking his eye to see if it like turns green or something.
Yeah. There's like there's a eye tracking in those glasses that he has on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always feel like it's the eyes that change first, huh? Is that just a movie thing?
It might be a movie thing, but that sure that comes from something, you know?
Yeah, probably. Then we get issue two. So the cover of this is this like exact art was in the Red Hulk's card in Marvel Snap. And oh, cool. I've seen this and I was like, where have I fucking seen this from? I was trying to like figure out what artist it was, but I don't have the card yet. So I can't just like click on it and see what artist did it.
Oh.
And so when I saw this, I was like, that's where it is. It's fucking Ed McGuinness.
There we go. Well, I mean, someone else could have done the cover, but
yeah, but I think it's probably Ed McGuinness.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. So issue two, while investigating the murder weapon on the helicarrier, Red Hulk ambushes them on the ship and starts a fight with Iron Man. And it all kind of goes to shit. The helicarrier crashes down in some field in New Jersey, thanks to the Iron Man like robots redirecting the crash course from New York, where it was about to land.
Very Iron Man 3.
Yeah, very Iron Man 3. And then this whole helicarrier fight scene's very Avengers.
Yeah, there is a...
But I guess, like, This came out before all that, right? So I think they're all before just biting Jeff Loeb's shit, like all the MCU stuff. When does this come out?
2008. So
that would have been before all that.
Yeah.
Damn, they were biting Ed McGuinness's shit.
Jeff Loeb.
And Jeff Loeb's shit.
There's like, the way I was reading this, there's like a bit of a jump scare almost.
Yeah, there's a jump scare.
Where like, it's like his hands just come through the wall and like grab She-Hulk.
Yeah, and just like rip her in. This would be a crazy horror movie.
And then he knocks out She-Hulk.
Yeah, which got to be hard to do.
Yeah, definitely.
How
do you feel about his fingernails?
Dude, they're black as fuck. He's got to wash his hands.
He's fucking emo, dude.
Do you think he paints them?
Yeah.
That's cool. He like Red Hulk's
because out. Because night will be the night.
He Red Hulk's out and then he takes like a whole gallon of like black paint and just paints his nails real quick before getting into action.
I think Hulk's nails are like this too. Like they're like,
dude,
black.
I've never even thought to look.
You just noticed right now when I said it to you.
No, I knew that they were black, but I never even thought to look at like Hulk's fucking fingernails. What do his fingernails look like in the movie?
The green?
Are they just green?
Yeah. That's no lame. Way they'd be black.
Dude, make them black. That'd be cool.
that'd be thug.
Yeah. We could change fucking dude bro's perspective on like black fingernails.
What if like Kevin Feige's like, no, that's gay.
He probably said, no, that's gay. He's like, a little too gay for the Hulk. We also see Rick Jones later meets the Red Hulk. And he turns into A-Bomb, which is like some blue abomination dude. But yeah, this whole like fight scene on the helicarrier is pretty cool. It feels like very tight-knit and delicate because he's on this $8 billion helicarrier that Iron Man funded.
Yeah, it's gold for some reason.
it has the gold and red, but there's like way more gold.
Yeah.
But $8 billion, even in 2008, would not be enough to build this, I think.
No shot, yeah. This is like a $1 trillion deal.
Because I feel like $1 billion gets you like a rocket, like just to go into space.
Yeah.
Let me. How much does a rocket cost? How much does like a SpaceX rocket? Oh, 90 million.
Okay.
That's not bad.
So maybe.
Yeah, okay. Maybe you can build a helicarrier.
Inflation's kind of crazy.
For $8 billion. Yeah, definitely not now.
There's a bit when Stark is like looking for the Hulk. Or Red Hulk, and there's like gamma radiation on the walls that he can see.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got like a special light for that or you can just see it.
I think you can just see it. I think it just kind of.
It's not like a black light thing.
I think it's like a Goosebumps, like ooze type thing.
Yeah.
And
I've seen that where it's like so.
Just like
visible. Yeah. It's like a residue.
Yeah. It does look like what a fingerprint would look like when you see it under like a black light or something.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know, maybe it does. But what's confusing about this is like, I'm pretty sure the Hulk, Red Hulk is normally General Ross. And Iron Man goes looking for Red Hulk in the helicarrier. He's like trying to fight him. And he sees like General Ross. And then the very next panel, he like runs into Red Hulk. And there could be like a time jump here. Because we never see like Hulk and General Ross in the same room, you know? But
he's got different colored pants, Nathan.
Oh, that's such a good point. Do you think he has pants under those?
You know, they very well could just be like in a couple of issues. Like, it's Ross the whole time. But like, I'm just the guy who's like, what about his pants?
Yeah, true. But I'm trying to figure that out. Because at this point, no one knew who Rolk was.
I thought it seemed more like it was Doc Samson at the time.
It definitely seemed like it could be him too.
But by the end of this,
we don't really figure out who it is.
Yeah.
So it's not confirmed. But anyway,
our knowledge is perfect for reading this.
I'm so lost. But how fucking cool are Rolk's back muscles?
Pretty crazy.
His last spread goes nuts. I love that every other page is like a double page spread in this book because reading it on a tablet is pretty fucking awesome.
It's like the best.
So also, I feel like this is the coolest Iron Man we've read like on this show.
I think so too. Yeah. It's not my favorite like design, but as far as
Iron Man
utility
action
and
stuff.
Action stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is
pretty
cool.
The one thing is, he got hit with a jet, right?
That would hurt.
It would hurt. And his suit has a self-repairing feature. And I'm like, okay.
But at least it's not nanotech. That's
it probably is.
We don't see it. He looks clunky enough for it to not be nanotech.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I think probably the funniest double page spread is when the helicarrier crashes and we just see kind of Iron Man like kind of floating around and he just says, oh, the humanity. Yeah. Like that's the thing that you're gonna say.
He's like, oh no,
the humanity,
my Iron Man plated helicarrier, it's falling.
Yep.
Has a poor color dress on it.
Yeah, a lot of gold, too much gold. But yeah, that's pretty much issue 2.
You say about A-Bomb?
Yeah. A-Bomb is like this weird blue abomination guy. I don't really know who Rick Jones is. I think he was like the Bucky to Bruce Banner back in the day.
He's like always, I think he's been A-Bomb for a while, but he's always seems to be in Hulk books.
Yeah.
I think he was in that Venom book, that new Venom book that just came out.
Oh, really?
So he's just kind of like a weird side character.
He just always turns into big beasts, I guess.
I don't know what other beasts he turns into, but...
Yeah, it seems like Marvel doesn't really know what to do with him that effectively. Because I've never seen him in something where I'm like, whoa, this Rick Jones guy is crazy. You know?
I thought Red Hulk was something that normal Hulk like turns into at a certain point when he's like mad enough.
Could be.
And so, a lot of questions.
That probably does happen at some point, to be fair. But like it's like a Super Saiyan level. He turns
kind
red.
Of, yeah.
I could see that. So, issue 3... There's a video of General Ross and Doc Samson talking to Bruce Banner in a cell. There's a part of the video where it goes quiet when General Ross has like a private talk with Bruce. We don't really know what was said. Meanwhile, Rolk in an A-bomb fight. Rolk uses another gun in the fight, which is pretty cool. This one's like a minigun, which is fun.
Well, he like rips it out of the ground.
He rips a minigun out of the ground because they're at the Gamma base and they fight. But the fight is enough to sort of rumble and break Bruce Banner's containment cell. So he goes Hulk mode and he like just confronts Rolk at the end.
Oh yeah, dude. So that first battle in the first issue with like Abomination and like the Hulk, their battle was like so crazy that it like shook the earth to the point where it leveled a nearby village.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how? Like, did they just smack each other against the ground enough?
So hard, Daniel.
They're the best smashers.
They're so good at smashing that they smash a village miles away. I mean, I can kind of believe that logic, you know? If a meteor crash lands and we're like a couple miles away from it, we're probably going to be hit pretty hard by it, I would say.
Yeah, because this gets to the point where like the battle is so crazy that it like starts to shift the tectonic plates or whatever.
Yeah, there's one of those battles. Or was it this battle that did that?
I feel like this battle goes on for a while.
Yeah, it kind of goes all over the place, but yeah. So there's also, what the fuck are these like harpy things? It's part of like the Gamma base. There's like this fail safe in case Hulk gets out, and there's these like adamantium bird robot things called harpies.
I have no fucking clue.
And I was like, what the fuck is that?
They're pretty bad.
And how is that at all optimized to stop a Hulk if A-Bomb's able to take one of them out, you know? Like, they're huge, they're fucking massive bird-human hybrid
things. They can pick them up with one hand.
Yeah, they can pick up talon. A whole Hulk-sized dude with one talon. But then they just, like, kind of rip them apart. And I was like, you didn't think that was a possibility? So, I have no idea what this is. But that was just kind of a crazy
they
thing.
They just
in
the do what
this.
They can.
Yeah.
This is one of those books where, like, there's only room for big panels.
Yeah.
And they don't really like, then they fill in the spaces by just putting like sound effects and stuff.
Yeah. Vroom. Yeah. Yeah. Warroom is a good one.
Warroom, whatever that means.
And then there actually is a pretty interesting part during this like Hulk fight with A-Bomb where they're at like the Gamma base and Red Hulk gets like knocked near like an eye scanner thing and it scans his eye and it confirms the identity of somebody that normally goes in there, which is kind of a cool bit.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like that. It is somebody that is allowed to be in this Gamma base, so it's like probably just one of the five people that we saw at the beginning of the book. But in the first issue when they go to talk to Bruce Banner, it's we only see Thunderbolt Ross and Doc Samson like do the eye thing, so it could be one of them, you know? So I think they do a pretty good job of like making sure they're giving you like little tidbits of who it could be.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun.
A page I really liked is when Hulk's Bruce Banner is about to turn.
Yeah.
And he's like banging on the glass and then his hand like grows, but it's like to scale as far as like the panel.
Yeah.
You know, so you can kind of see the difference between.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Full size and when he's like human size.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty fun.
So Red Hulk, he's like smart. He's not like.
Yeah, he doesn't talk like Hulk. He speaks in full sentences.
Right.
Which is cool.
And his eyes like glow, like like yellow.
Yeah, I like that.
Which seems weird that like the scanner would pick up on that, you know? Like still tell who it is even when his eyes are glowing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think maybe it's more cornea based.
Probably.
I think that's what they actually like check, not necessarily eye color.
Mm-hmm.
But do his eyes not grow at all? I feel like that would affect the eye scanner.
I feel maybe a little. Like to scale, I guess.
Yeah, they definitely grow, I would think.
Yeah.
So issue 4, this is a weird one. It's titled Hulk versus the Watcher.
I feel like
this was definitely marketing.
Maybe.
In the solicitations. It's like, well, the Hulk's gonna fight Red Hulk's gonna fight the fucking Watcher.
What? I feel like Donny Cates took a lot of inspiration from Jeff Loeb's writing. Just throw everyone in there.
Throw the fucking Watcher in there. Yeah.
Let's make this crazy.
Let's see if the Silver Surfer can fucking fight Red Hulk. Nope. Okay, you can't, but
this is a cool Watcher design, though.
It is good. But yeah, the Watcher shows up like randomly, and he catches a stray from Hulk somehow before his fight with Green Hulk. And keep in mind, like regular Hulk was confronting Red Hulk at the end of the last issue.
Right.
And then the beginning of this issue, the Watcher shows up and Hulk just punches him and is able to like fucking smash his face in before starting the fight with the regular Hulk.
It's basically like a filler pages, you know?
I'm like, why did the Watcher show up? Like, what's happening here? But during Hulk's fight, Hulk breaks Hulk's arm and he puts him into a chokehold to knock him out. Somewhere else, Maria Hill finds a coat that's sort of ripped and it's coated with the same gamma radiation that Iron Man saw before. And that coat belongs to Doc Samson. So they're like, oh, maybe that's our guy. Hulk ends up taking the Hulk to Golden Gate Bridge to like execute him with another gun, third gun that he has. All these are different guns. But it stopped.
Well, it's got to be the same gun, wouldn't it?
It was a different design of gun. So I think he took a different gun.
So it's not the one he used to take out Abomination.
It might be intended to be that way, but they look different.
Oh, okay.
So he goes to like execute Hulk on top of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. They were in Nevada before, so he carried.
This is like Colt 45, dude.
Yeah, but Hulk bites the barrel of the gun, and then Thor shows up, which is the best. Also, one of my favorite panels. It's just Hulk being like, "No!" and then he bites the the barrel of a gun.
That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen him do. It's very practical.
I fucking love this book.
And then Thor has got like the biggest, beefiest arm I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, that's a big arm.
He hasn't been cutting in years.
I really like the idea of breaking Hulk's arm. Like that's never something that I thought was even possible, but he definitely does it.
Yeah, this is another Hulk, I guess.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun.
So Red Hulk he's like very Deadpool. And the fact of like just being rude and then beating up people.
He is pretty rude because he's always talking about like, oh man, I've been thinking about this day that I could fucking shoot you in the face.
Hulk. Yeah.
And so he is pretty sinister. I think they do a pretty good job at that, but mainly just because he could speak full sentences and he's got a lot of hate. But I think anytime I see just a big hulking man holding a gun, it just like makes me laugh. Cause like this panel where he like pulls it out.
Yeah. It's like, why do you have a gun?
Cause if you're reading this panel to panel, you just see like Hulk's face. And then it kind of zooms out a little bit and then boom, he's holding a gun. It's like, it's kind of funny to go panel to panel with.
Do you see this panel when like he, this word balloon, when he breaks his arm?
Yeah.
It's like green and like it uses like negative space for some reason.
Oh yeah. Why did they do that?
Like, is that supposed to emphasize it or something?
It must. I was looking at like how they drew Hulk's arm being broken. I thought there was going to be like a bone, like kind of either exposed or like poking out of like the skin a little bit.
I mean, his skin's probably stronger than his bones are.
Yeah, probably. But they do like a little shock wave where the crack happens, which I think is kind of fun. So, but yeah, there's definitely no reason for the Watcher to be here. It was like, in my mind, it was probably like 100% like a marketing thing just for like a cover. But I just think it's funny that that exists at all.
Yeah. People who bought it just for that issue, like because the cover, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Be like, what the hell, man?
I mean, the Watcher's like never been like a threat to where he'd put up a fight or anything. But
yeah, because he's not supposed to like get involved.
Even if he did get involved, he wouldn't really do anything, I don't think.
He's basically just World Star.
Yeah. So after Hulk bites the gun, he like kicks Red Hulk in the balls.
Dude, he does.
I thought that was funny.
That is hilarious. And then they just break pretty much the entirety of Golden Gate Bridge just during that. So pretty fun. And then Thor shows up and I'm like, oh, okay. Why did Thor, like, why is he just in San Francisco? Why does he know? You know, I don't know. Like, it's just so funny to me.
Maybe he just heard about, he heard the ruckus or he heard about the earthquake or something.
In San Francisco, maybe, yeah. And he's like, oh, there's a Hulk over there.
Because he was gone for Civil War II and they talk about that.
Yeah.
And so Hulk and Thor were gone, which like how they were in the movie, actually.
Oh, dude, that's so true. Well, no, I mean, they had Ragnarok, but that was like
in the Civil book, War. Yeah, yeah. Which is just like a robot,
I think, Thor, I guess. I don't know. No, I can't even pretend to understand.
Yeah. Marvel's crazy.
So issue 5, Red Hulk fights Thor. That's pretty much the whole thing. But Red Hulk somehow drags Thor by Mjolnir up into space. And then he hits Thor with Mjolnir because it's like zero gravity. So he's able to pick up Mjolnir, which I don't feel like it works that way. But
yeah,
he kind of throws Thor to the moon and knocks him out and leaves him there. And then he just like jumps back to Earth and crash lands in like an Arizona desert, which is just like an insane sequence.
Like, let's go.
So he's got the ability to just jump to space, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Iron Man takes the video of like General Ross and talking to Bruce Banner, and he brings it to Mr. Fantastic, who can't decode like the quiet part of the video. It turns out that the video is like a Trojan horse and kind of takes down Mr. Fantastic's network for a second. But then A-Bomb helps Hulk out of the water that from San Francisco. And then Hulk runs into the team of Iron Man, She-Hulk, Ares, for some reason, Human Torch, and Namor. And then that's the end of the issue.
Dude, I love this thing design.
Yeah, he looks great.
I think it might be like my thing design.
Oh,
like,
that, yeah, that might we be my favorite. About that.
Yeah, because like I saw this, I'm like, there's nothing I hate about this.
No, yeah, he's like
the eyebrow is perfect.
The eyebrow's perfect. He's got a good mouth.
It's too. One eyebrow. I think I prefer the two, but I'm not gonna nitpick.
Rocks seem rocky. He's not too smooth.
Very rocky.
Yeah,
and he's just bulky.
Look at that bulge.
And he's got the stones.
He's got the stones. Yeah, he looks great. I like how his forearms don't really like. They're not really like forearms.
His bicep just turns into hand.
He's got cankles, but for your arm, which is pretty fun.
It kind of.
Yeah, I feel agree. Like that's pretty fucking good.
I feel like that's how like Mobius would draw like the thing.
Oh yeah,
in a way.
Has he ever?
I've seen.
Surely he did for like Silver Surfer Parable or something, right?
I saw like a T-shirt design. That had Mobius art on it.
And there's like that Spider-Man one too. They did too, I think.
There's a Spider-Man. There's like an Iron Man, and there's the Thing.
Oh, cool.
And there's like Mobius stuff. I it wasn't like books, but they're like just pinups that he did or something.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'm really happy with that.
Here's the plot.
This is the best part for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just a thing. He's like watching the TV that you know Mr. Fantastic takes over.
Yeah.
Here's the plot hole. In this book, Daniel, if you could believe it.
What? I thought this was rock solid.
So the video that Iron Man takes to Mr. Fantastic to like try and, I don't know, just amplify the quiet part of the video.
Yeah.
I don't know why Iron Man just couldn't do that. He seems like more of the tech guy.
Yeah.
One plot hole. But if it's a Trojan horse, that means that whoever Rolk is or whoever's helping Rolk knew that the existence of this video that could be incriminating exists. And they just loaded it with some software to try and like, you know, stop whoever was doing it. But why wouldn't they just delete the video?
Yeah. Well, it was. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they, if they knew that it exists and they fucked with it?
Maybe it'd be like suspicious and there'd be like metadata or something showing like that it was deleted by somebody. And like with your login, yeah, it shows like this person deleted this bit.
Yeah, I guess that could be the case. But you think that
Jeff
would be
Lowe
better.
Was clearly thinking about
that. Okay. He's clearly thinking about the cybersecurity aspects of this.
Yeah. Dude, Ares is so furry.
Dude, why is he so fucking hairy?
Yeah. He looks like...
More like Harry's, you know what I mean? And then...
you remember that Flex Mentallo book? How he was like super hairy?
Yeah.
Reminds me of that.
It's a little off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how does Iron Man get this team together? Like, She-Hulk, the Thing, Human Torch, that makes sense. But where does he get Ares and where does he get Namor? Are they just like part of the Avengers at this point, maybe?
Maybe like a Defenders... At the time or something, but
Ares is just such a funny one.
I guess Avengers.
Ares is like sometimes a hero and sometimes a villain because he's like a villain in The Punisher with Jason Aaron.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
Hercules,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
So are they like homies? Wait, no, isn't Hercules like Roman mythology and Ares is like Greek?
Ares is Greek, I think.
Oh, okay.
God of War. No. Yeah. Greek.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know what Hercules is. Yeah, I think Roman.
Yeah, but like...
But I don't know what he's got of.
Like Roman...
Strength or something.
Like there was like the Greek mythology, and then the Romans kind of did like their own spin on everything.
Yeah,
and like renamed them all.
Yeah, they did a spinoff.
Yeah, dude, just a ripoff.
Hercules, god of what? Merchants and traders.
Ares, Greek god.
Son of Zeus. Oh yeah, so he's Greek, but he's also the Roman. He's the Roman equivalent of Greek divine hero Heracles. Dude, they bit Greek shit.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Because like there was like
they didn't copyright it.
Right. Anyway.
Anyway,
it was a huge legal battle.
Can we talk about Mjolnir physics real quick, dude? Because I think the way that they try to explain it, he like grabs Mjolnir.
So if it's in his hand, is he able to move it?
Yeah, that's what he does, because he's jumping to space.
Yeah, he grabs like the metal part.
He's holding the metal part of Mjolnir, and he says that I know you're this like trick. No one can lift up your hammer, but if I'm jumping with you holding onto it. Oh, I guess that kind of makes sense, because Thor's the one that's moving the hammer, I guess.
He's just, it's not like if he let it go in space, it would just fall.
But he could have let it go here, and then Hulk would just fall.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an L on Thor's part. But then we're in outer space.
And he just leaves him on the moon.
I think he'd fucking... Like he doesn't think he can kill him, and so he's just like, I'm just going to leave you on the moon. But what I don't understand is they're in space, zero gravity, and apparently he can grab Mjolnir on its own and like fucking hit Thor with it. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't think makes sense. I can kind of understand their logic with if Thor's holding onto it, but he's like holding it by himself and like hitting people with it.
Like the other people not being able to pick it up is not like a gravity thing.
Yeah, it's like a, like Mjolnir's not moving unless you're worthy in moving it.
It's, you know? Like, yeah, it's like a password thing.
Yeah.
I guess Cap moved it at first. Like he like.
Yeah, because if Mjolnir's like on an elevator.
Elevator still moves.
Yeah, elevator still moves. Which means elevator's worthy. But no, like it still moves, but like someone picking it up and fucking using it, like that means you're worthy. So Red Hulk is worthy. So I think we have them all wrong.
Has Mjolnir ever been in like an elevator in the movies? That'd be a funny bit.
I think so.
Yeah, like he like puts it down while he's like, I don't know,
I know there's
putting
that,
hand sanitizer on or something.
There's that like short where Thor has like a roommate. I think something like that happens.
Okay.
He like puts it on a coat hanger, I know. Yeah. But I don't know if he's ever
been hanger's
like,
worthy.
No, coat hanger's worthy. Yeah. And I know also in like Thor 4 or 3, he like fights a dragon and he puts the hammer just in its mouth and like drops it.
Yeah.
And then it like brings the whole thing down. Because so, gravity's just bringing it down and the dragon's not able to lift it up, you know? So.
But also like Odin's like blessing or whatever is like working on it to where like the dragon can't pick it up with its mouth kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I think they kind of have it wrong here, unless Rolk is worthy. So
doubt it.
Yeah, doubt it. It doesn't seem like it. Anyway, issue 6. So Hulk decides not to fight this random ass team of Avengers, and he jumps off to find Red Hulk. He like knows where he is, I guess. He can just feel it. While the heroes kind of support the San Francisco earthquake. And so he just like kind of shows up where Red Hulk landed, and they just continue their fight. There's no dialogue or anything. They just like start fighting again. Except this time Thor has come back to help, and so has A-Bomb, but they just let Hulk 1v1 Rolk anyway, because it's like for pride or something. And they're like, we need to let Hulk figure this out. So Red Hulk is fighting a lot, and when he fights a lot, he gets like super hot. And so he got too hot with all of his rage, and Hulk beats Red Hulk, and then he's all happy, and then he walks off. A-Bomb turns back into Rick Jones and then is shot by Doc Samson, and General Ross is also there. And we still don't really know who the Red Hulk is, but we do know Samson and Ross are both involved with Red Hulk somehow. But what I don't understand is, I was pretty sure it was fucking General Ross, but Red Hulk is there unconscious, and both Doc Samson and General Ross are there. So it's not like either of them in this case.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is this?
No clue.
We have a whole ass trade. We know a little bit more about what's going on, but we don't know who Red Hulk is. And so now I'm just pissed. And I kind of want to read the next trade, which fucking sucks.
I'd just Google it, honestly, at this point.
So, yeah, that's probably the smarter thing to do. But yeah, just insanity this whole time, this whole book, because that's the end of the book.
Another part I really liked is with the Golden Gate Bridge like collapsing, Namor gets like sea monsters to like hold it up.
That's pretty cool.
I was like, that's insane.
Yeah,
he gets like a Kraken or something.
Yeah,
like,
a Kraken, like, some big whale.
Some Godzilla thing.
Oh, it is a Godzilla thing. Dude, that has black fingernails too.
The Godzilla thing?
Yeah.
You can see his nails?
Yeah.
Ah, I think that's just dark.
Yeah, it could just be dark.
Dude, Red Hulk hits the Hulk with a discombobulate.
Dude, he does?
Yeah, in this corner here.
Oh, wow, he does. Discombobulate.
Discombobulate from Red Hulk would be crazy.
It's been Iron Man the whole time. I love that meme.
It's Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes the whole time. So, yeah, kind of just insanity the whole time, but a lot of fun as well.
So, how did Hulk like beat Red Hulk? Just because he's hotter? Why is that bad?
So, Red Hulk got too hot.
Okay.
And he doesn't really know why he's getting too hot, I don't think. And then he got so hot caught off
guard or something.
That Hulk, and Hulk also gets madder and stronger when he gets madder.
Yeah.
Red Hulk just gets hotter. But I guess he got too hot, and then he was just able to punch him at that moment, and then he just beat him. But then not really, because he wakes up like what seems like minutes after. So,
yeah.
Yeah, not really a definitive winner here, necessarily. Yeah.
So, let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We get some cute like backup stories. We get Hulk at art class, and then Hulk Splash, which is like three Hulks at the beach. There's like a green Hulk, a red Hulk, and a blue Hulk.
They're like one pager stories.
Yeah, they're like one page stories. One of them, they're like painting, and then they get a bunch of paint all over each other, and they don't know which Hulk is who. And then one of them, Hulk just does a cannonball in the pool, and all the water's out. And then there's Hulk Zoo, where green Hulk gets stuck in the, I don't know, zoo cage. They're pretty cute, to be fair. And then we get a chunk of like Wolverine 50, which was like one of those sort of big collaboration issues with a bunch of different art teams. But this one happens to be Jeff Loeb, Ed McGuinness, and Dexter Vimes. So like this Hulk creative team.
But it looks like such a different art style.
It really does. Because I don't know who is responsible for like the ink tone parts of it. It's probably Dexter Vimes. But
it's pretty cool.
It's really cool. Even like the blood. Because it's basically like Wolverine's first appearance but modernized, which is when Wolverine was like a Hulk villain.
Yeah.
And but there's like this really cool page where he like slashes Hulk and the blood's like all ink tone as well.
Yeah, that's neat.
So pretty cool.
I like Wolverine drawn this way. He just looks like really scrappy.
Yeah, he does. I like Ed McGuinness on Wolverine. It's cool shit.
Has he done Wolverine?
I want to say he has.
Probably.
Definitely some X-Men, I think.
I'd read that.
But he also draws like just this Hulk really differently. I don't know if it's because like his art style changed. I don't know when this.
He looks a little bit more like cartoony.
Yeah, which I appreciate.
Or like,
I think I do like this style like a little bit better overall.
Yeah, I feel like this would be cool to read.
Yeah. And then it's just like him recounting, you know, that origin story, and then he wakes up and it was like a dream. Because at the end, Hulk like fucking rips him apart.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So pretty fun though. And then we get some covers. We get the Ed McGuinness main one, the Michael Turner cover, Dale Keown, Daniel Acuna, and then Marco Jurjevic and David Finch. That's a crazy one.
That is cool.
I always like seeing him do stuff. And Olivier Coipel. I love that. Art Adams. So just like some banger artists that I'm pretty sure were just told to draw the Hulk.
Yeah.
And then they just color him
no
red.
No color him red.
Yeah. So pretty fun. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I would rate this like it of a store brand vanilla. Maybe it's a little expired, like a week, you know, but like, yeah, it's still good. You know, it's still ice cream. It's not like your go-to flavor, but you need it for like pie and stuff.
Yeah.
There wasn't necessarily like a hook for me. It was basically just like the art that was my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like story, I definitely had some pretty high expectations since it's like Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
This is probably not his most celebrated work.
I think this is his like most like silly or like straightforward maybe.
Yeah. I think it's very comic booky, you know, but like this is a dude who did Superman for All Seasons or like fucking Spider-Man Blue. He did Batman.
Did the guy did Hush?
No. I don't. Yeah, I guess so. He did Hush.
Yeah.
Didn't he do like Long Halloween too?
Yeah. Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale.
Yeah.
So this is like very different.
Yeah. Feeling. Not the tone I was expecting.
Yeah.
But maybe like this is like a somewhat long series, I think. So maybe he was writing for the character.
Yeah.
You know, and like for like the fans of the character.
Yeah. Or maybe he just, you know, appreciates the Hulk comics that are kind of like this.
Yeah.
As a kid, which can be cool too. And he's like, let me just do that, but make it like a little mystery kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah. But that's a fair rating. I think I would give this like this is like such a popcorn book, you know? So probably just like the biggest popcorn you can get, but just doused with butter.
Yeah. Maybe a popcorn in like a Hulk hand.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I give this the Hulk hand that used to be the coaster, but you put popcorn in there.
Yeah.
Put some seasoning on it. And then you're watching just like the most straightforward movie ever.
You're watching Red One.
You're watching Red One. That's good. Because they're both red, Daniel.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, I like that. That's my rating. I really enjoyed this.
Okay, I'm glad.
Because of how insane it is. But I think it's mainly the gun. If there's no gun, this goes way down for me. But it's just fun seeing like people that are really good at drawing Hulk draw Hulk.
My selling point with this is like there's a evil Hulk and he's got a gun.
Yeah. If I think this is one of the books where if someone was just like, give me some like just crazy comic book stuff, I think this is pretty good for that.
I'd probably suggest the Donny Cates Hulk first.
That's also a really good suggestion. It depends.
Maybe it's just the spirit of like what Hulk comics are.
Yeah. They're just like the most insane thing you can think of kind of deal.
I never read up, I guess.
But then like Immortal Hulk, they do.
That was different.
That's, yeah, because it's trying to be like a horror.
So I think that was purposefully like kind of just different.
Was World War Hulk like just insanity?
It is insanity, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
And then Hulk was a big part in like Fear Itself, and that's like that's an insanity book too.
Yeah, I haven't read that one.
We'll get to it eventually, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So pretty fun.
All right, Nathan, let's get into the pull list. Colon,
shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box? We got Ultimate X-Men number 11.
Yep.
We got TMNT number six.
Six.
That Ice Cream Man number 43 with like all those one pagers done by a bunch of different people.
Oh, like Grant Morrison and.
Yeah, I think Zdarsky's got one.
Patton Oswalt, I think.
Zoe Thorogood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in that. And then there's Star Wars A New Legacy number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who's on that, but that's coming out. I might look at it. And then Green Lantern number 19 comes out.
Yes, sir.
Do you want that?
I think I ordered that. Yes, I did. I finally ordered online.
Oh, good.
I ordered 3 books, and it was TMNT, Green Lantern. Oh, and then that Seasons number 1 book comes out.
The Seasons.
Rick Remender and Paul Azaceta.
What about X-Men number 10? Are you still reading X-Men?
Yeah.
Mainline one?
I don't know if I have it. I didn't order X-Men number 10, though, so can you pick that one up for me?
Sure. All right. Nathan, did you read anything?
Yeah, I've been catching up on Green Lantern. Just the whole week. So that was my daily issue.
You read 7 issues of Green Lantern?
I read 6. So I fucked up.
Dude, you read 6 last week too.
Dude, I know.
You need to do 9 this week.
I had to take a lot of the fucking vet today. I didn't have time. But.
You didn't wait?
So I read.
In a waiting room? Perfect time to read?
No. Well, he saw us immediately. We went there at fucking 7 in the morning.
Wow.
So it was crazy.
But, all right.
Yeah, I read just Green Lantern 12 through 17. And I'm liking it a lot, except 3 of those issues were during like the Absolute Power tie-ins.
Oh, okay.
So it gets a little bit insane.
Uh-huh.
And there's definitely some time jumps where it's like, you should have read Absolute Power number 3, you fucking idiot. And I have those comics and I do plan on reading them, but I just wanted to like get through a lot of my Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah.
But it's pretty awesome.
You have to read like all your DC shit at the same time?
Yeah. It would be annoying to like jump between them. So I was like, whatever. But a while ago for news, I said that there was like a new lantern that came out and he was Sorrow and he was like a sad lantern.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking funny.
Emo lantern.
There's an emo lantern. His name's Nathan.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's the guy that fucking Carol Ferris leaves for Hal Jordan. They were about to get married. She leaves.
Those emo boys.
And he just becomes the Sorrow lantern out of nowhere. We don't really know how yet.
Carol Ferris has a type.
But he like is able to make people sad. I don't know, it's really funny. I kind of like him
because tonight will be the night.
Yeah, he sings emo punk songs to him. But like, there's a part, and it was like part of the Absolute Power tie-in, so you don't really see him that much, but he makes like Dove sad while she's like trying to save people. Insanity. But other than that, when it's like out of the Absolute Power stuff, which actually some of it's pretty fun, but...
Do you have Green Lantern 18?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really liking it. Really, the artist, I think, is doing a really good job because he just does unique Green Lantern structure shit, which is pretty fun. One thing I don't like about it is that the main bad guy right now is basically just Thanos, because it's this pink alien named Tharos, and he's trying to take over the universe. And I'm like, come on. You can't like make him a different color at least, you know? But yeah, he's like Thanos, sort of pink purplish. He looks like an alien. He's trying to take over the universe. His name's fucking Tharos. Which, like, he might be like a character that existed before, but like, don't choose him. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's just like a one issue thing or something.
But I think I could tell that, I think it's Jeremy Adams. He like is really into Green Lantern because he's got all the Green Lanterns in there.
That's good.
Even like Kid Lantern, which was part of Young Justice. But yeah, like Simon Baz, Joe Mullian is in there. Kyle Rayner is in there. He turns into a White Lantern again, which is pretty cool. So there's like a lot of like...
Yeah, your favorite of the Lantern Corps, Nathan?
The white one, yeah. That's the best one.
They are the superior.
I also like the black ones. I think those are cool as well.
I love all the colors.
Yeah, but I like where he's going with it, so I'm really happy with it.
Nice.
So what did you read this week?
I read Black Magic number 1 and 2. It's like a Image book.
Yeah.
Sarah, she's gonna be coming on
around
my birthday, and I asked her what she wanted to read, and she said whatever. I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. I'm like, even superhero stuff? She's like, sure.
Ooh.
So I'm not like, I don't know if I'll do a superhero thing regardless. I kind of want to find something I think she'll like.
Yeah.
So Black Magic is like a book about like witches.
Okay.
And witchcraft and stuff. A witch is a detective.
Cool.
And it's like this book that's like black and white, but it's like really realistic art.
Sweet.
You know, I gave it like the 2 issues, but I don't think this is the one.
Okay.
It's...
In premise, it seems like it'd be...
It's relatively... Yeah, it's relatively interesting. And so,
how did you find out about this?
I like Googled
like magic
stuff.
Good magic comics.
I don't remember what the Google search was that got me to this. So this is Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'll show you the trade.
Yeah, I like both of them.
So the first trade came out like 2016, so it's kind of like that era.
Yeah,
this is the cover.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I gave that one a shot.
I've seen that trade.
And pretty good. I don't think that's the one.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
So I've just kind of been scouting some stuff.
What else you read?
Then I finished Black Hammer at the End.
Nice.
Number 2 through 5. And so now I'm on Spiral City. But yeah, Black Hammer at the End is like bonkers.
Cool.
And it's very cool. The artwork is really good on that. People are like very proportionate. And so that was like a little, I guess Black Hammer Reborn was pretty proportionate. And so you're kind of used to that art style.
Right.
But I liked it for sure. It was Malachi Ward.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
That's cool.
And so, yeah, that was really cool.
I think he's really good at finding these artists.
Yeah. It's like always people I've like never really heard of.
But they're incredible.
And they work really
well.
Who's
the guy that was on that first?
Dean Ormston.
Yes, dude.
He was excellent. I've my favorite.
Never seen him before, never seen him since. But damn, can he draw Black Hammer.
I missed the fuck out of that.
Dude, I know. He was so good and like weird.
And,
you know?
Yeah, and I didn't like him at first. You know, it was just weird to me. And then it just kind of grew on me. And now that's kind of like the staple, you know, artist for that.
For sure.
So, you know, it's pretty good. And so, yeah, I'll be able to catch up because I think Spiral City 3... just came out, so I'll be able to catch up on that. This is like the first time I've been caught up on Black Hammer in some time.
Cool.
Probably since like Age of Doom, I think. So
very fun.
Yeah, and it says like the end, and it definitely feels like it could have been the end, you know, if he decided not to do more. So yeah. But I'm just like glad that there's more.
Yeah.
So yeah, good stuff.
That's some of his best stuff.
Yeah. Did you watch anything?
I watched Sakamoto Days.
How many episodes?
3. So everything that's out.
I watched the first two.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it's really fun.
I like the first episode a lot. The second episode I was like, whatever about.
Yeah, but it's getting like a little bit crazy.
Yeah, it definitely, like the first one's pretty grounded in a way, but
yeah,
then it just kind of gets like very anime.
Yeah, so I'm curious how it's going to land, but you know, the premise of it, as I understood, was just like this guy used to be a crazy good assassin, and then he just found a family and he's fat now, which is funny. Because fat
runs a convenience store. Yeah,
runs a convenience store. He has like a simple, happy life.
They make his arm super buff in the anime.
Yeah, he's got dad strength for sure.
I don't think he looked like that.
And he just like, there's still assassins that want him dead and stuff. So he has to be an assassin, protect his family, but he, not like, kill anybody. Left
without asking, I guess. And it's kind of like one of those things where you die with like the...
Yeah, it's basically just John Wick if he successfully gets out and then just gets fat, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is a fun premise.
Because I don't think you're supposed to leave that like coalition either.
Yeah, totally. And there's superheroes in it. There's a guy that reads people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
In the third episode, there's another superhero dude. And so I'm like, how crazy is this going to get with like superhero people necessarily? I don't know. I don't know if that's like a twist that was necessarily needed because I enjoyed what was kind of coming out with it. But I think the comedy of it's really funny. There's parts where he'll like dodge someone's punch or kick and then we see his face jiggle a little bit. And that always just makes me laugh for some reason. And I like how nonchalant he is. I like his family, how the wife is like, you cannot be killing anybody. And the guy's like, dude, I can't kill anybody or my wife's going to get really mad, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that stuff is pretty fun.
I always like when he thinks about killing like his little sidekick or whatever.
Yeah, who can read minds.
Yeah, and that dude like reads his mind and sees him killing him, like how you do it.
Yeah.
That was my favorite bit.
Yeah, so that's pretty fun. I like that his arc for an episode will just be like, I want to go get some meat buns. And then it's just like, oh, I gotta go protect this person now kind of deal.
Yeah.
He, like, runs into somebody else. But I think it's fun. I'm going to definitely keep watching it. Sophie really likes it too.
That's good.
But hopefully it isn't just like by the end of the season, just a million people with superpowers, you know, because I don't think it really needs it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But there's a pretty good action scene in episode 3 that I thought was pretty cool.
That's cool. I watched a show called The Pit.
The Pit?
The Pit.
Okay.
It's on Max. It's a show about a trauma center in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
They also just call it The Pit. It just happens to be in Pittsburgh.
Mm, double meaning.
The whole season is supposed to be like a 15-hour shift at The Pit. And each episode is 1 hour of this shift.
Cool.
Right? So, and it bounces around. Like, it's mostly one main guy who like runs the whole thing. But there's like interns and like people, like doctors at different levels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like jam packed of people coming in. So it's just like, it's like go, go, go. It's a very fast paced show.
Yeah.
And because it's on Max, they don't really like hold back on like some of the cases they get. Like there's some very brutal kind of injuries that come in. It's very fast paced and it's stressful in a way. It's kind of like The Bear. If it was in like the ER,
okay,
but like those episodes where they're like serving like food.
Yeah.
So everyone's mad at everybody. There's very little happy endings, you know. But and it's just very realistic to like, I think I've never worked in like an ER, but I imagine it's that kind of stuff that comes in.
Yeah.
And it's good. I like it a lot. We watched like 4 episodes of it in like a day.
Oh.
And
how'd you hear about it?
I heard about it on like a movie podcast.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, Sarah likes doctor stuff. And I like when things are recommended to me, you know, so.
Okay, nice.
That's like one of our shows at the moment.
Is there any actors that you knew of in there?
I don't know anybody in it.
Cool.
And everyone's like really good.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. You watch anything else?
I watched Wasp and Gromit, Nathan.
Let's fucking go, dude.
Vengeance or...
Vengeance Most Foul?
Vengeance Most Foul.
I love when he says it in the movie.
Yeah, I'm like, there it is.
And there's, they know as well. Like, the music is like, there it is. What'd you think?
Pretty good. I don't think newer, like, Wallace and Gromit stuff will ever meet my excitement for Wallace and Gromit stuff.
This one did for me, personally.
Yeah, and it was very... I think, I don't know if people like just have different expectations for it, but I saw a lot of like 5-star reviews on it, which I didn't give it, you know, so I guess my expectations are a little bit higher.
That's fair.
But I did enjoy like a lot of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the just essence of Wallace and Gromit really works.
Right. It's also, I think, for kids, so I have to like kind of step back on my expectations on that.
The little garden gnome dude, pretty fucking scary.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah, it is. Which I was surprised about. I didn't expect. I mean, I know the title's like Vengeance Most Foul. It seems kind of spooky, but I was like, this is fucking weird.
Sarah thought it was scary like before it got like the black eyes.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was too. I'm like, this thing fucking sucks. I really like a lot of, you know, kind of what it's saying, I guess, because Wallace is an inventor and he like will invent something to like pet your dog, you know, or something. Or,
yeah,
like,
but it's not the same as petting your dog.
Yeah, but it's not, or like tending to a garden, you know, it's like you can have a thing do it for you. But I think a lot of the fun of it is in the craft of doing it and getting better at it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Rather than having something do it for you.
And also
you.
Like Gromit just likes doing it.
Yeah, he just likes doing it. And, you know, there's like a lot of beauty in doing the work yourself because like you see Gromit like knitting something and then Wallace has like a, or like the gnome is also doing it and stuff and he like does it better, but it's like that's not the point, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I kind of enjoy that aspect of it. A lot of the jokes are pretty funny just because they're British. I like the penguin
dude, absolutely terrifying.
Something about him is so sinister, just which is hilarious to me.
He doesn't speak and he's very scary.
I like when he's in the jail cell and he builds like a like a little contraption to try and hack Wallace's computer. And he's like trying to figure out what the password is. And then he just types in cheese.
Yeah. He's like, obviously it's cheese.
That whole sequence. He's like rubbing his chin. He's like looking around.
He has like a inventor hand that goes out of his cell that he could have used to grab the keys to get out of his cell, but he does not.
Well, he doesn't want to escape the jail. Well, I guess he did want to ultimately.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. That part's kind of funny too. One of the funny parts is when they're chasing after the penguin and they're both on like a boat and they're both going like really slow.
Yeah.
But it's like this high speed chase thing. That was pretty fun. But ultimately, dude, what surprised me was like, I actually thought Gromit was going to fucking die at the end of this.
Yeah.
Because he's,
I was like, I don't see he's out of this.
They're on a boat bridge. I don't know if that's an actual thing in, you know, wherever they live.
Yeah.
But Walt's like, or Gromit is falling off of this thing and Wallace is like about to grab him. I'm like, oh, it's going to be okay. And then he misses the hand and he falls many fucking feet. He's falling into a fiery explosion that already happened below him. And I'm like, is he going to fucking die?
And
I thought that for a second. I was like, that would be the best fucking twist of all time if Gromit fucking dies in a fiery explosion.
And then there's just like this Mission Impossible, like running on the boat like thing as it's falling.
Yeah. Hilarious. So yeah, just stuff like that I think is pretty fun. And so I hope that these keep happening, but I don't know with the clay. But
what I thought was funny is just kind of like the phrases that Wallace says when he's like surprised.
Smashing.
He's one like, of them. Butter me crumpets.
I laugh at every single one of those because it's just like cheeky, like little phrases that they say and that just hits hard.
And then like the penguin like had the rubber hand glove on his head and then Gromit or Wallace is like a chicken. He takes it off, he's like no. It's like so like Perry the Platypus kind of
it's
thing.
It's hilarious. And there's parts where I'm like, how did they animate this? I'm like, how's that even possible? Because there's
how
the part,
do they do
the
water,
like, the water. How
the water
water
looks so cool.
I'm like, that's got to be like CGI, but I don't think that's how they roll. So I don't understand how that fucking works. But then there's also the part where all of the gnomes, like the gnome army, are just like kind of Flintstoning the car. And they're all running. And they're like drifting and stuff.
I'm like, that shit must be hard.
I know. I'm like, that would be super fucking tedious. But it looks incredible. So I really enjoy all that.
I never noticed like Wallace's like eyebrow bone is like, it's like above his head.
Yeah.
Like how tall it is. I relate to that.
Yeah. But I really think at the end, when it really pays off when he like pets his own dog and he's like, you know, there's no contraption for that. And I was like, how fucking wholesome.
I didn't realize that the humans have like four fingers.
I don't think I noticed that.
They seem either. Like they have, they seem like they're like the proportions to have three. You know?
Oh, I see what you mean.
And so when they have four, it seems like too many.
Yeah.
You know, like their hands are really too big. Wide. Yeah.
Yeah. I also kind of like the just kind of commentary on like how bad at like how cops are just like bad at their jobs and stuff like that. Like so a lot of that stuff that they say, I think is pretty fun too.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't need evidence. Just like wrap up the case. You know, we got to get something out to the public.
There's a dumb detail where like Wallace gets interviewed by like the news, mm-hmm. and the newscaster's name is Anya Doorstep.
I missed that. That's
I'm funny like, that's a good one.
Anya Doorstep.
The Gromit, he gets like trapped in like a shed by the gnomes.
Oh yeah.
And he escapes by using like a saw or something. And he cuts like a grommet shaped hole to like go through. it's just like a cartoony thing.
I remember that. That's funny as fuck.
There is like a scene where none of Wallace's like contraptions work because like they're taken by the police, mm-hmm. and he like ends up in like his bathtub, and his bathtub's like sliding.
Yeah.
And he like turns around, but his entire head turns around and not like his shoulders.
Yeah, I remember that. What? I'm like, holy shit, this is a horror movie. Yeah, he's turning around to see like where he's going, but it's a full fucking owl like 180.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I was like, what?
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, the abilities are crazy. That penguin, they're trying to make him look like scary while he's in his cell. He's mm-hmm. like shaving. He's shaving with like a popsicle stick. He doesn't even need to shave.
That's a good bit. Yeah, he doesn't need to shave. He's just
hair on his face.
He's doing it for the aura.
Yeah, definitely. How do they animate like the boat explosion?
I don't know.
Like, I'm like, that's real fire.
Yeah, I don't know. It fucking boggles my mind, which is why I'm so impressed by it. Like the water and then like the different elements. Yeah, for sure. Just crazy.
I love the like the dynasty that the Wallace and Gromit studio has.
Yeah.
Cause like they all are nominated for like Oscars. Like even like the Shaun the Sheep movies.
Yeah.
I think Shaun the Sheep like won like a couple years ago.
Oh, cool.
And so yeah, they've been just cooking.
They always cook, I feel like, when they do this stuff, which is cool.
But I wanna like go back and watch all the movies.
I kinda do too.
I just remember Curse of the Were-Rabbit,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember much about it. And that's like,
I don't either.
20 years old at mm-hmm. this point.
I wonder like how different it looks, if you could tell.
Because they've been coming out since like the 90s. And I saw like, I think Max or Amazon has a collection of like, the shorts.
Yeah.
Because like the shorts are only like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I saw like some really, really old animation and you could definitely tell.
Oh, you can.
It looks like very like homemade looking.
Like stop motion.
Stop motion mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
But yeah,
I liked that a lot. It was really fun to watch with a group of friends too. So
that's probably like a good way to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of like giggling to myself while Sarah was like on her phone.
But yeah, and you're just like, that's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Nice.
Did you watch anything else?
I rewatched Rush Hour.
Oh, good movie.
I was trying to do something else while watching it, but it's just so impossible. Funny. It's so funny, dude. I forgot how funny it was.
Those are on Netflix or something.
Yeah,
I think the first two at least.
Yeah.
And when we were just scrolling, looking for a movie, I'm like, you want to watch Rush Hour? She's like, no. I'm like, these are so good. What are you talking about?
I was just also putting something on because I was trying to figure out some wedding stuff. And then I just ended up watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also put on Rush Hour 2, but I was actually doing stuff. So, but yeah, there's like some pretty fucking hilarious jokes in there.
Yeah, Rush Hour 3 is even pretty good.
There's like one of the jokes I don't remember that like I was almost crying was he's like telling. So Chris Tucker, that's the actor.
Yeah.
And then Carter is his name in the movie, right?
Oh, yeah. Asian
Carter. So Carter.
James Carter.
Is telling Lee to like go into this place and like just tell him that he's FBI. And he's like, he like gives him his ID and he's like, just flash this out. And then he looks at the ID and it's like very clearly like Carter's like face, black face. And like he's got like an afro and stuff. And then Lee is like, this won't work. I'm not 6'1". And I thought that it was so funny. And they brush right past it. But when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, that's such a big... I had to rewind it so that I could show Sophie. And she's like, why are you laughing so hard? And it was awesome. Like, I don't know why.
She didn't laugh like anywhere as near as
you did. No, she laughed too, but I just thought it was so funny.
Yeah, Jackie Chan is goated.
Yeah, he is.
Did you see that video I sent you of like... John David Washington, like in like the the Criterion Closet with his like brother or something.
Is that like a show where they just
it's like a YouTube thing
and they have people pick movies and say why they like them or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
And his brother is like talking about like all these indie the movies and stuff like that. And then John David Washington's like Jackie Chan box set,
which is also a good pick.
It's like the cinephile wannabe versus the cinephile that I am.
Yeah, exactly. Jackie Chan just so steezy in those movies, dude. He's like, when he gets into a car, he jumps up and does like a spin into the thing. And I'm like, fuck yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, he's so good.
But yeah, I mean, anybody that's seen those movies know that they're fun. He also says the N-word twice in that movie, Jackie Chan.
He is a pass.
He does get the pass. I just think it's so crazy because the joke is funny because Carter tells Lee to like follow his lead and they go into like this bar and he's like, what up? And he's like dropping N-word. And then he like tells Lee to go off on his own and he like tries to blend in and he says it twice. And I was like, oh, because you think he's going to say it initially. And then you're like, oh, okay, we're safe.
Yeah.
And then later when he says it, it's so funny. But yeah, good movie.
Good movie.
Watch anything else?
No.
All right.
What are you going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
That's a good question. We got anything lined up?
And Nathan.
What's coming out?
Next week will be Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
Valentine's Day episode coming out on Valentine's Day.
Oh, romance book.
Romance.
Okay. What? Dude, I should have been thinking about this, or you probably have.
Don't worry.
What do we got?
I think about this shit all the time.
Okay.
I think we should do Hellboy in Love.
Hellboy in Love, huh?
Which is like a collection of stories with him and this girl or something who I guess he has a thing with. It's not like the girl from the movies. It's like someone else.
Oh, interesting. That sounds great. Is it like a collection of just like random Hellboy books?
Or yeah, I think so.
That's pretty fun. Oh. No, it's just Hellboy in Love 1-5.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. But I think the stories are, it's like the same team, but I think the, she collects three
Anastasia
stories.
Anastasia is her name.
Anastasia, maybe?
Anastasia? I wouldn't have said it that way. But yeah, I'm down for that.
Hell yeah.
Hellboy in Love.
After this, it might be a little trickier to find something. Okay, but,
we just do random stuff.
I just think that's cool that that's a trade.
Yeah. Or if a listener has a suggestion, let us know.
For next year.
For next year.
Too late. We're deciding now.
Yeah. But yeah, Hellboy in Love next week.
Let's go.
Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Linktree in our bio. You can like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that.
Give us a 5 stars, perhaps.
Give us 5 stars. I just found out that Sophia had not given us 5 stars this weekend.
Yeah.
And she's so, like, no, I totally have. I checked and we have an extra rating. I'm like, so, you did it just now.
Rate it 5 stars or Daniel will find you.
Yeah. I'll call you out.
Yeah. And
email us at trailblazerpod@gmail.com. Good romance books. Any other suggestions?
What was the last romance book we did?
Was it Love Everlasting?
Oh, yeah. I think it was.
Yeah.
That was a good book, too.
I like that. Yeah. Tom King liked that post.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. He knows
who
we are.
My goat.
But
all right, yeah. That's it.
All right, goodbye. See ya.